One of the most exciting parts of writing my blog is when readers send me photos from different places. Right now, over a dozen soldiers serving in Iraq have sent me pictures of the birds they're seeing there. I put them all together into a little Iraq Birds photo gallery, which is easily accessed. And a few weeks ago, a woman in California named Eileen started writing to me and sending me photographs asking me to identify a pair of birds in her yard. One was pecking at the window occasionally, and the pair was constructing a nest in the family's basketball hoop backboard. They were Western kingbirds, and not only did Eileen send me some really cool photos of the birds, but also of their nest and eggs, and now nestlings. The nest is a fascinating piece of work. It's made of strips of an old tarp that was unraveling, some sparkle strips from Eileen's little girl's bicycle handles, and her dog's old comforter blanket stuffing. As Eileen noted, she really knows how to recycle. The baby kingbirds, just 3 days old as I produce this program, are adorable with bright yellow mouths and surprisingly fluffy white down feathers. There are four right now, but one of the problems with observing any nest from day to day is that it's quite possible one or more of the babies might die, or the entire nest may be plundered by a predator. Looking at the tiny babies, we become emotionally invested in their survival and can't help but root for each one of them to grow and thrive along with their feisty, creative parents. Of course, that kind of immediacy and emotional investment are one of the ways that we humans can restore a bit of our connection with the natural world. Some researchers and conservationists dismiss people's concern for individual birds, saying the only thing that really matters is populations. But anyone with even a tiny understanding of fifth grade math knows that even a billion times zero is still zero. So if individuals really had no value, neither could their population. And it's individual birds, not populations, that people connect to. People are far more likely to care about Amy or Beaner or Dudley, the individual peregrine falcons, than the entire population of peregrines. We might say that peregrines are increasing in numbers right now, steadily recovering from being extirpated from all of North America east of the Rocky Mountains, but we don't so easily sum up how Davy or Diane is doing. When one peregrine named Maggie got grounded last summer during her first flight, I picked her up off the top level of the Fondaluth Casino parking lot, and suddenly she was my bird. Every time I saw one of the young peregrines after that, I looked for her band number, 78P. And every now and then I check the Raptor Resource Project's website to see if anyone has reported her anywhere since she left town last summer. So far there hasn't been any word about her, but I can't help but be hopeful that she's still among the living and that one day we may be tracking her nestlings. Eileen Barris's Western kingbirds are not sporting leg bands. We'll only be able to keep track of this little family as long as they're in Eileen's yard. In a couple of weeks, the babies will fledge, and at that point, Eileen will never again be certain that juveniles she sees are her birds rather than ones that came in from neighboring territories. Next year, if a pair shows up and nests in her basketball hoop, chances are that one or both will be her adults returning, but it will be hard to be absolutely certain. But even if we can keep track of these six individual birds for only a brief window of time, the pugnacious and clever adults who recycled all manner of fibers from Eileen's yard, and the dear little bug-eyed, big-mouthed babies who keep their parents hopping every moment of daylight, have won a lot of hearts. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.